Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm trusting that you can all hear me tonight. Please, if you can hear me, please just send me a chat. Thank you very much. God bless you. You're all welcome in the name of the Lord, and I trust that you can all hear me well. Welcome to the first webinar, the first Divine Connections webinar in the year 2014. It's going to be a great year. I welcome you all in the name of the Lord. And for those that are joining us that are not part of Kingscourt Chapel, you're welcome as well in Jesus' name. I trust that this webinar is going to be a blessing to you all, whether you're in the house or whether you're in Nigeria, whether you're calling in from America or wherever you're calling from. The Lord will visit you and bless you as well tremendously in Jesus' name. Also, before we start tonight, I realize that, you know, being the youth that we are, some of us tend to forget some of these things. You know, I know that emails and everything have been sent out during the week, but we tend to forget, you know, the things that, and sometimes the enemy also, you know, makes us forget the things that are important. So I'd just like you to be your neighbor's keeper right now. And if you know a single person that would benefit from tonight's webinar, please send them a text or a WhatsApp or a BB or whatever it is that you guys use to communicate with one another, just to remind them to log on that Divine Connections is on tonight, so that they can be a partaker of tonight's webinar as well. And the Lord bless you as you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go straight into tonight's webinar. I think, you know, the Bible, you know, not the Bible, you know, how you start your month, how you start your week, how you start your year is an indication of how you're going to finish. And so I think tonight's webinar is going to be one of the most important ones, because we are starting on what I think is one of the most important topics that we can deal with in this webinar. And I am very confident that because we are starting with this, the end will be good in Jesus' name. You'll be tremendously blessed. But before we start, we're just going to share a word of prayer. And while we are praying, I will advise you, please get your notepads, get your pen so you can take notes. And if you have any questions that you want to send to me, you know, there'll be an opportunity for you to do that. You can do that anytime during the webinar. Just send me a question through the chat box and I'll be sure to get back to you. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you because we know that even as we have gathered tonight, we have not gathered in vain. I pray, oh God, that even as I share that which you have laid upon my heart tonight, that you will give understanding even to your children in the name of Jesus, that as they log on to tonight's webinar, that understanding will come, enlightenment will come, that you will enlighten their darkness in the name of Jesus. That, Father, not only will they hear, they will hearken to all that they shall hear tonight. And at the end of it all, each and every one of them will never be the same. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor and adoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about preparing for marriage. Now, I know that this is one topic that a lot of people would have seen and thought, hey, maybe this doesn't apply to me. Maybe I'm 20 or I'm 21. I'm not thinking about marriage, or maybe I'm 18. So this topic doesn't really concern me. And I'm going to beg to differ and say that it actually concerns you, you know, or if you are in the age bracket where you are actually married, you're marriageable age, you are in your 20s or you are in your late 20s or your 30s, and you know, it applies to you even much more. So whatever you are, whether you are seeing somebody or you're not seeing somebody right now, the best time to prepare for war is in the time of peace. So now is the time for you to get yourself in gear, so that when the time comes, you're already prepared for the next phase of your life. Amen. So what do I mean by preparing for marriage? You know, as I thought of this topic, the lady that came to my mind, or the woman that came to my mind, I'm not going to be talking about women tonight. This topic relates to both men and women. But when we're talking about preparation, there is one woman that just fits the bill to you know, to all ramifications of the word. And that lady is Esther. You know, the Bible talks about Esther in the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 12. It says there that Esther, we know the story of Esther. She was a young lady growing up with her uncle, and she was taken to the palace. She was taken to the palace, not because she wanted to go, but because they were looking for a replacement for queen. And so the Bible tells us that in Esther chapter 2 verse 12, it says each young woman's turn came to go into King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation. So Esther chapter 2 verse 12 is where I'm starting from. The Bible says that each woman's turn came to go before the king after she had completed 12 months preparation according to the regulations for the women. For thus were the days of their preparation, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. So we see that all these young ladies, all these, you know, handmaidens of the Lord, they all had something in common. They were all young, single, available, and they were all taken into the palace of the king. But before they were brought before the king, they had to be prepared. And, you know, marriage is an institution that I found in my years of counseling, doing premarital counseling, been doing postmarital counseling, I found that a lot of people enter into marriage totally unprepared for what they are going into. And we see here that because the king was looking for a wife, he didn't just go and choose anybody off the streets. He didn't just say, oh, okay, I'm going to a church. Okay, there are lots of people here. They're all born again. They're all beautiful women. Okay, I'll just choose one. No, the Bible says that all those women, before they were chosen, they had to be prepared. 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with perfumes, just making sure that they're adequately prepared for what they're going to be getting into. And so the Lord requires the same from us today. And even much more. You know, nowadays, the divorce rate in the church, unfortunately, is as high as, if not higher than the world. They say last time they said it was 50-50. Now they're even saying it's even higher than the world, which is such a shame, which is such an aberration of Calvary, that you find out that the divorce rate of believers that have the manual of life, that are supposed to be, you know, the ones even telling the world how this marriage thing works, they are the ones going to the divorce courts. And not because God is not on their side, not because God has changed, not because his word does not work, but because a lot of people you find do not actually understand what this marriage institution is all about. A lot of people think that marriage is just about the wedding day. Oh, you know, I wear my white gown, he puts the ring on my finger, I have my bridal train, we have our cake, we have the hall. You know, they plan, a lot of people spend time planning excessively for the wedding day, which is just one day. And they put zero preparation into the marriage, which is after the wedding, and that's for a lifetime. And that is such a shame, because more of your time and effort should be spent really preparing for the marriage, which comes after the wedding. Rather than preparing, some people take a whole year to plan just one wedding day, but they don't take one day like this to prepare for the marriage. And so small wonder that they enter into it and they're disappointed, or it doesn't work. Their marriage fails, because we know that even believers' marriages do end up in divorce. Why? Lack of preparation. Lack of preparation. A lot of people do not understand what they are getting into. They get carried away. They get caught up in the euphoria of the wedding day and the buzz and all the fantasy that goes with that. And they forget to put first things first. And there's a popular saying in the world, which is so apt. It says that when you fail to plan, what you are actually doing is that you are planning to fail. When you fail to plan, you are actually planning to fail, and you will not fail in the name of Jesus. But that is the reality of life. There is nothing that we want to do in this life. Whether you are a student in University of Buckingham at the moment, or you're in Cranfield, or wherever you are, when you all know that you are in school, at the end of a semester or a term, you sit an exam, and you know how you prepare. You prepare, you don't sleep, you study, you read every book that is readable just to ensure that you pass that exam. Or maybe you've even finished school and you're thinking of doing a professional exam. You know how we burn the midnight oil? We don't allow, we don't sleep. We deprive ourselves of so many things. Some of us don't even come to church. Why? Because we want to do some professional exam and get a certificate at the end of it. Or maybe you're going for a driving test. When I did my driving test, I didn't have to do anything called theory. But now, my son is preparing for his driving test and he's studying. He has a manual that he's reading and he's studying that book because if he doesn't pass the manual, the theory exam, there's no way he can get his driving license. So even in the world, they realize that you need to prepare. They don't just give you a certificate because they think it's a good idea. But in marriage, we find out that, you know, a lot of people are entering into marriage, sadly, without zero preparation or they don't have adequate preparation for what they're getting into, but we give them a certificate just because we think the man is old enough and the woman is old enough, whether they know what they're getting into or not, a certificate is given. We give them a marriage certificate for something they have not prepared for. And small wonder that that kind of marriage can never last, or it will struggle. The marriage, they will be enduring the marriage rather than enjoying the marriage because adequate preparation has not gone into ensuring that that marriage works. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 24:27, it says there in the Amplified Version, it says, put first things first. Prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field. Okay? And it says, and then afterward, you can build your house and establish a home. Prepare outside. Get yourself ready. In the field, get yourself ready, prepare yourself before you start to say you want to build a home and you want to get married. Put things first. So let me stop by saying or pause by saying and or asking you, if you're a man or a woman on this webinar, how prepared are you really for this marriage that you want to enter into? If you have somebody right now, are you really prepared? If you don't have somebody right now, now is the time to prepare. Courtship is not a time just to be looking and gazing at one another's eyes and going to the movies and holding each other's hands and all of that and speaking late into the night. No, courtship is actually a time of preparation. It's the time where you need to begin to look into how prepared you are to make the transition from singlehood to marriedhood. Are you really prepared? You know, part of wisdom is really doing the right thing at the right time. So when you are in courtship or when you're seeing somebody or when you found the person that you believe the Lord has led you to be your husband or your wife, that time is the time that both of you should be preparing for the transition of marriage. It's a time when you should be reading books and doing all sorts of things. But we find that a lot of people waste that time and they say, oh, when we get married, then we'll prepare. No. It doesn't happen that way. A lot of people, when you are in it, it's more difficult for you to now. In fact, you should prepare before you go, not when you are in it. So you've just wasted that courtship period. You haven't utilized that time adequately. And if you haven't found the person, you're still waiting on the Lord to bring that person your way. Now is the time for you to begin to prepare yourself. And when you prepare yourself, you will not fail in the name of Jesus. So let's look at some of the areas where you need to prepare. How do I prepare? How do I ensure that I'm prepared for marriage? The first area that you need to focus on and begin to ask yourself if you are prepared, and if you're not, begin to do that, is to prepare yourself spiritually. The Bible says, we read in the book of Esther, that each woman completed 12 months of preparation. 12 months, a whole year of preparing themselves for where they are going. So, you need to ask yourself as a single person, am I really prepared spiritually? Because, you know, life is a battle sometimes. And if you are not adequately armed to face the battles of life, life can overwhelm you. And the way that you arm yourself for the battles of life is when you prepare yourself spiritually. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 7:32, it says there that he who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the unmarried cares about how they may please their husband or their wife, how they may please their spouse. The Bible says husband, but really, even though the husband has to please his wife. So you find out that when you get married, the time that you should have been using to build yourself up spiritually reduces. You can't lock yourself in the room 25, you know, throughout the day and say you are just waiting on the Lord without any care in the world when you have children and you have responsibilities in the home. But when you are single, you have all that time to yourself. Nobody is asking you where you are going and where you are coming, where you going, where you coming from. Your time is your own. And you can use that time to your advantage. You can use that time to build yourself up without any kind of distractions. You can use that time to get to know God. You can use that time to develop your word life. You can use that time to serve the Lord with reckless abandon. Nobody is saying, where are you coming? Why are you just coming at this time? Why are you, where are you going early in the morning? No. You can use that time to serve the Lord, be a blessing to others in His house. You know, get to know God for yourself during the period of waiting. Get to know the Word. Get to build your intimacy with God when you don't have any distractions. The Bible says you care for the things of the Lord, how you may please the Lord. So use this time of waiting to prepare yourself adequately for the next phase of your life, which is marriage. Because when you marry, things change. Your priorities change. Some people get into marriage and the first month or two, they get pregnant. A child comes into it. So what time are you going to, is that the time that you now start trying to carry your Bible when you're trying to run a home and manage a home? No, it's more difficult. Your time is more, you know, there's more demand really on your time. So use this time to build yourself up as a single person. Get to know God for yourself, because it's the foundation that you lay now while you are single that you'll be able to build upon when you get married. And the Bible says that, you know, we should make sure that we build our lives with the best, with gold, with silver, and with precious stones. So while I'm single, I'm ensuring that I'm building and laying a good foundation. Because if my foundation is destroyed, the Bible says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you don't have a good, solid foundation in the Word of God, in knowing God for yourself, then when you get married, it will be a struggle for you. So use that time to prepare yourself spiritually and ask yourself, am I really, really prepared spiritually to get married? Because marriage is not for children. Marriage is for mature believers, mature adults, people that are mature spiritually, that can face the battles of life as men and women, not as boys and girls. So please use this time to build yourself up spiritually. The second area that you need to prepare in is you need to prepare by working on your character. We're talking about preparation for marriage. What do we need to do? The second area, we need to prepare ourselves by working on our character. This point is so important. It is so important. I cannot overemphasize the issue of character, because the Bible says in the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 19, that it talks about a lady called, before then it talks about a lady called Vashti. And in Esther chapter 1 verse 19, we read, it says, if it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it will not be altered, that Vashti, talking about Queen Vashti, shall not come anymore before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. What a shame. You see, before Esther, there was somebody called Vashti. Somebody else was the queen. But what happened to Vashti? She lacked character. Oh, she was very beautiful. The Bible says that the king even wanted to boast about her beauty. He said, tell her to come. She just come the way. She didn't even wear any clothes. Just come with her beauty so that he can just parade her and show her. Oh, she was so beautiful to behold. But she lacked character. And because she lacked character, the Bible says she was removed and her position was given to another who was better than she. Better than her in what area? In the area of character. In the area of character. You see, while you can be beautiful, while you might be gifted, while you might have poise and have looks and have swagger, those things can get you a man. You know, sometimes, you know, if you have it all together, you're Miss World or what have you. you know, your weave on and everything is in place, your bag and all of that, you can get a guy that is not discerning, because unfortunately there are some men that are looking at the outward appearance. Meanwhile, the Bible says that beauty, it says charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 30. But some men and some women, they get caught up in the outward appearance. They're looking at biceps and triceps. They're looking at whether she's beautiful, whether she can put it all together. And while those things are important, I'm not saying that you shouldn't consider looks, but you see, looks does not keep a marriage. Beauty, poise, swagger, designer clothes, cars, biceps, triceps, then the Washington look, whatever it is you are looking for, does not keep a marriage. It cannot keep a home. It can get you into the door of marriage if you deceive the person and he's, you know, the guy or the woman is caught up with all of that and they marry you. But it is only your character that will keep you there. I'll say that again. Beauty, handsomeness, poise, beauty, swagger, all those things, looks, can get you into the door of marriage. But your character will keep you there. Vashti had beauty. She lacked character. She was out. Her place was given to somebody else, Esther, who had both beauty and character. So while you are adorning yourself as a woman and you are beautifying yourself and you are, you know, and it's good to take care of ourselves, please make sure that you are taking care of the inner man. Make sure that you are building your character, please. As a man, while you are going to the gym to pump weight every day, to carry, you know, do all of that, please ensure that you are working on your character. It's not only women, men as well, need to work on their character, because nobody wants to marry a handsome man with zero character, because all those things will fade away. All those biceps will become fat tomorrow. All that, you know, trim body today, tomorrow becomes extra tire. So if there's no character to undergird all of that, that marriage is going to be in trouble. Vashti failed in marriage, not because she lacked beauty, but because she lacked character. She did not know how to talk. As a woman, are you prepared? Do you know how to talk as a young lady? As a man, is there anybody that can talk to you and you listen? Do you know how to submit yourself as a young lady? Are you submissive in your character? Is there anybody that can speak to you? Can your pastor speak to you and you listen? If you are staying with your parents at the moment, maybe you are not married and you're living with your parents, do you listen to your parents? Do you obey them? If you can't obey your parents, the Bible says if you cannot love the person that you see, how can you claim that you love God that you cannot see? So if you cannot, in the same way, if you cannot obey the people, the authority that God has placed over you that you can physically see, how can you obey God? You can't. You can't. So as a man, who do you revere? Who can speak to you and you will listen? Who can speak to you as a young lady? Who can speak to you? Who do you fear? Who do you respect? Are you a bit rude as a woman? If you are rude as a woman, you are asking for trouble if you get married, because no matter how beautiful you are, if you are rude to your in-laws, you will be in trouble with your husband. It doesn't matter how cute you are. There's no man that will take you being rude and not knowing how to talk, not being hospitable, not being patient, not being endearing. All these are traits that you need to keep a home. So if you're just concentrating on your weave on, and your whatever, and you're not looking at the inward person of the inward part of yourself, the real person, the hidden person of the heart, then you, God forbid that you end up like Vashti. Do you obey anybody? Do you obey your boss at work when your boss tells you to do something? Or do you always have an attitude? When your pastor tells you to do something, the authorities that God has placed over you, do you grumble? Do you have an attitude? Do you get into a strut over it? Or do you have the kind of, you know, Esther was someone that was very teachable. She was willing to listen to people. She was willing to listen. The Bible says, well, that when they took her into the palace, they put some people in charge of her. They gave her, she was under the charge of somebody called Haggai, who was a custodian of women. She listened to him. When that guy said, do this, she would do it. When even her uncle Mordecai said, don't tell them who you are. just keep quiet. She listened. She didn't say, ah, who are you, Uncle Mordecai? I'm in the palace. You are right. I'm the queen. Who are you to tell me that? No, the Bible says she listened. She hearkened to everything that her uncle told her to do. She had character. Small wonder she was able to make a good home. Even though the king she was married to was a very obnoxious guy, she was still able to bring out the best in that man. So character is very, very important. If you're a man and there's nobody that can speak to you, your pastor cannot correct you, your boss cannot correct you, your parents cannot speak to you and you obey. You are asking, if you're a woman, you're asking for trouble if you marry somebody like that. There's no character. And you know, they say altitude, they say your attitude will determine your altitude in life. How far you go, how far your marriage and your home will last depends on your attitude, your character. How prepared are you for marriage? You need to begin to ask yourself, am I a bit rude? Do I need to work on how I talk? As a young man, am I a bit lazy and self-centered? Am I humble as a woman? Look, it's humility that keeps a home, not beauty. If you are not humble, grace cannot flow to you. So if you are so haughty in spirit, you are so puffed up, you are arrogant, you look down on everybody, you are not humble, you can't apologize to anybody. You are always right. There's no way you'll be able to last. You will have problems. If you are not patient, how much of the fruit of the spirit is evident in your life? How prepared are you is what we are talking about now. Because we all want to marry, but are we really prepared for where we are going? And these are the things that you find when you counsel people that are having problems right now in their home. These are the things that are causing problems for them. As a person, are you forgiving? Because you can't have a home except marriage is two forgivers living together. So if you are somebody that you can keep malice, you can fight everybody, you can even fight yourself. There is nobody that does something that you can forgive. How are you going to be able to live with your husband or your wife? You're always stockpiling. You don't know how to let go of things. There's no way you will have problems in my. So you need to look at yourself and begin to ask God to work on those areas so that by the time you enter, you are prepared like Esther. And, you know, you will not fall short in the name of Jesus. So that's why we're having this webinar, to make all of us sit down and take an assessment of our life. January. This is a good time to do it because Esther had 12 months. So we are in the beginning of the year now. We have the whole of 12 months. Some of you don't even know. It might be in the next 3 months that you get married. So start preparing now. Some of you might be 6 months that you're going to get married. Some of you might be by the end of the year. Everybody's time and season is different. But now is the time to begin to prepare. Ask yourself, am I really Mr. Right right now? As you are now, are you ready? Are you Mr. Right? Are you right yourself? You are asking God, send me Mrs. Right. Are you right yourself? Because God will not send you Mrs. Right if you are not Mr. Right, if you are not okay, if your character is lacking. As a woman, am I Mrs. Right? Be honest with yourself. You can deceive everybody, but at least you know you cannot deceive yourself. And if you are deceiving yourself, then nobody can help you. So sit down and begin to work on your character. Don't be another Vashti. Work on your character. Be like Esther. Let's learn from her today. The other area that we need to begin to work on, really, and the other area in which we need to, to prepare ourselves, or how we need to prepare ourselves for marriage, we need to also prepare ourselves by ensuring that we read books. We read books. We listen to materials on marriage. Now is the time to begin to get resources. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll say that again. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a lot of us, when we read the scripture, or if we haven't seen the scripture before, I suggest you go and really study it and meditate it after tonight's webinar. The Bible is admonishing us to study. Now, sometimes when you see that, you say, oh, I read the Bible. No. It's not only the Bible that you need to read when we're talking about marriage. the Bible is the manual for life. It has a lot to talk about when it comes to marriage. It has a lot of scriptures on marriage. It has the guidelines and the blueprints of marriage, how a husband is supposed to be, how a wife is supposed to be, the responsibilities of a husband, responsibilities of a wife. So we need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible more than we read other things, but we should read other things as well. We need to get books on marriage. We need to listen to podcasts on marriage, at least maybe once a month. You know, all these things are available. They are readily available. There's no excuse for any child of God in the 21st century not to prepare for marriage, because it's readily available. If you say, I can't buy books, there are e-books that you can download free of charge. If you say, I don't have money, I don't have whatever, you can go and listen to podcasts. There are podcasts out there free. Free of charge. You don't have to pay for it. You can go on YouTube, look for whoever it is that you enjoy listening to, and type in their name, see if they have messages on marriage, and listen to it. Listen to what they have to say. Study and get materials. Sit down. What does it mean to be a wife? What does it mean to be a husband? You know, a lot of times, you find out that marriages are being destroyed today, not because, you know, the people are not good or because they entered into marriage with the intention for it to fail. No, the Bible says, my people, God is talking here in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It says, my own people, they are destroyed. Their home is destroyed. Their marriage is destroyed. Why? Because of lack of knowledge. Full stop. Not even so much because of the devil, because the devil is always there. You can't get rid of the devil. He will always be trying. He's always going about seeing whom he would devour. That's never going to end. But you don't help matters when you are ignorant. When you are an ignorant believer, you don't have any knowledge in the area that you are entering. You don't have any knowledge about marriage. You haven't read any book about what it means to be a wife. You don't know anything about what it means to be a husband. You haven't studied that area. But when you have a driving test, oh, you will sit down and study. When you have a professional exam, oh, you will study and bury yourself in the book. But you cannot take time out to study the most important area of your life after salvation, which is marriage. You are too busy. And so you lack the knowledge. A lot of people are very lazy. They just want the preacher to come and tell them, you know, this is how you should be a husband. This is how to be a wife. And we will continue to do that. But let it be an addition to what you yourself have already acquired. Acquire knowledge. Knowledge is out there. They say, they always say that if you want to hide anything from a black man, but just put it in a book. What a sad statement, but it really is the truth. Just put that information in a book, because the black person will not read it. And that's a shame. That should not be. Because the knowledge and the information that you need is in one book or one audio CD or one podcast somewhere. Or on the internet. You can just even Google how to be a good wife, how to be a good Christian wife. Articles are all over there that you can use. So we need to begin to do that now. Maybe once a month, you want to say to yourself, at least I need to start preparing for where I'm going. You know, and go sit down and have a good conversation with yourself. Because if you're not prepared, why should God, you know, God himself you don't want God to hold back. If God is looking at you and saying, this is my daughter, I don't prepare. If I give her this husband now, I don't want her to be another Vashti. Or this is my son. He's not prepared for what he's asking me for. And I can't give you what you're not prepared for. I cannot give you, if my son now, he's doing his driving test, but you know, he's doing his driving lessons at the moment, but I'm not going to give him my car keys because he's not yet fully prepared to drive the car. So even as, no matter how much I love him, and I do love him, I will not give him my car keys. And that is the situation with a lot of us. God wants to give us these things, but he's looking at us, he's x-raying our lives, and he can see that we are not really prepared for what we are asking for. So we should sit down and have a honest conversation with ourselves and say, you know what, I don't really think I'm really prepared. Okay, you know what, because I know that God is about to change my season. God is about to change your season as a single person. He's waiting to change your season, but you must be prepared. So sit down and say, I will do my part. Because we know that when preparation meets opportunity, success is inevitable. When you are prepared and the opportunity comes, you see, Esther was prepared. Then her opportunity came to be presented before the king, and success. She was a very successful queen. But if she had had the opportunity, but she wasn't prepared, there is no way she would have made a success of the throne. And that is what happened to Vashti. She had the opportunity, she lacked preparation, and she messed up. So you need to sit down and say, okay, maybe this year, this is January. Esther had 12 months. I might not have 12 months, and I might have 12 months. My time is in God's hands. I'm going to sit down as a man and as a woman, as a young man, as a young woman, this year, maybe once every month, I will listen to a podcast on marriage. Or I will get a few books and commit to maybe 1 hour a week just to improve your mind, just to learn about where you are going. You see, a lot of people, when they come for premarital counseling, and I love doing premarital counseling. I'm doing one right now for a couple that are getting married in the next couple of months, you know, and we sit down, I go through all the things that they're going to come, you know, all the different sessions in marriage, finances, in-laws, sex in marriage, all of that. We talk about it. But I found that a lot of people, when they come for premarital counseling and I begin to ask them questions about marriage and what they know, very few of them know. You find that a lot of them have not read any book on marriage. Or they have very, very, very limited knowledge from the answers they give me, because I give them forms. I can tell this one does not know what he's talking about. This one does not understand what she's entering into. And they expect me to pump everything in their head in 6 weeks. That is impossible. Even if I meet with them every single day for 6 weeks, there's no way I can teach them everything there is to know about marriage. That preparation should have started maybe a year before, so that by the time they come for premarital counseling, I'm just really just adding to their knowledge. But they wait until premarital counseling, or we just go, Pastor Michelle will teach us everything in 6 weeks, and then hey, we go. And then when they enter into marriage, they stop learning again. You never stop learning. Even while when you get married, you need to get into the habit of reading now and listening to messages and podcasts and all of that, so that when you do get married, you just continue that habit. You continuous improvement, even in what you know. What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a wife? How do I build a successful home? So ask yourself, how much material have you really exposed yourself to? What you're doing now is a good thing. Some people have never been to any seminar. Some people have never logged on to this Divine Connections webinar that is free of charge. They don't have to leave their home. They don't need to pay. But people are so lazy sometimes. And then they just expect God to just wave that magic wand that everything will be okay. No, it doesn't work like that. You must put in some effort if you want to see success in any area of your life. So I'm going to encourage you. You know, you started now with the webinar. That is one thing you should give yourself. Every month, we know there's a webinar that's going to help me to go to where I'm going. That's going to help me make a success of my marriage. It must be a priority for me. I'm married and I'm happily married. This is not for me, it's for you. So that's one way of ensuring that you get knowledge and you are preparing yourself for where you are going to. There are some books. I wrote some books here that, you know, just a few books from my library that I want to recommend. If anybody wants to come and ask me for more books, I have so many books that I can recommend for you that can help you. A few of them, if you're a man, for instance, there's a book called Man, Husband, Father by Buddy Harrison. Fantastic book. Man, Husband, Father by Buddy Harrison. It tells you how to be a man. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a husband? And then the next transition, what does it mean to be a godly father? So it's a 3-in-1 book, brilliant book that would, you know, just give you some ideas on how you can begin to prepare yourself for where you're going to. There's Purpose of Marriage by Miles Monroe. Fantastic book. Covers every area of marriage. There's Are You the One for Me by Pastor Bimbo Fola Alade, my former pastor's wife. You can get all these books on Amazon. You just Google it, you find it there. And then one by late Pastor Bimbo Odukoya, 365 Questions You Should Ask Before I Say I Do. That is one book that I constantly refer to, and it will be a blessing. This is just a few of them. They all be a blessing to you. And if you want, you know, if you need more information, just speak to me later, and I can recommend some other things that you can, some other material and some podcasts as well that are free that you can just download and listen to. And as you do that, I believe that the Lord will use that to mold you and frame you for where you're going, in Jesus' name. The next area. Now, if you have questions, please, as just send them to me as I'm talking, because I might not have that much time at the end to take questions separately. So if you have any questions as I'm talking, just send them to me even while we're speaking now, and I'll try and address them as we go, in Jesus' name. Now, what other area do we need? How else can I prepare for marriage as a young person? Another way I can prepare for marriage is by understudying others. We're talking about preparing for marriage, understanding others. What do I mean by that? You know, in life, you will find out in life that God is such a good God. He always ensures that he brings people around you. God never leaves us on our own. He brings people around us because he knows that this journey of life, I've never lived before. Most of the time, we don't know what we are doing. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Thank God we have the Word of God. But apart from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we also have, God has surrounded us with people. They are called destiny helpers. They are called destiny helpers because God knows that in this life, you will need people that have gone ahead of you, that can guide you, that can advise you, that can instruct you. So he doesn't leave you on your own. He ensures that he brings them your way so that they can be a blessing to you. So in preparing for marriage as well, you haven't been down. If you are listening to this webinar, you are single. You haven't been married before. So what do you know about marriage? So you need people that have been there. People that can mentor you, people that can mold you, people that can instruct you, people that can make this journey less painful for you because they've been there. So you need to prepare yourself. Get somebody to understudy. You know, in life, you can learn two ways. You can learn by instruction or you can learn by experience. Now, a lot of times we hear in the world, they say experience is the best teacher. I beg to differ. It's not all the time that experience is the best teacher. Because experience being the best teacher, sometimes it can be very costly. Experience can be very, very costly. So if you are saying, I want to learn when I get there myself, I don't need anybody to tell me about this marriage thing. You mean me too, I can learn now. When I get married, I'll start learning about marriage. You are playing a very, very dangerous game with your life. You want to learn by experience, it can be very costly. The best way to learn is to learn via instruction. When you learn from instruction, it is less painful. And that's why God will ensure that he brings people your way that can instruct you. Those that can help you, can mentor you, can advise you what to look for in marriage, how to build a successful home, how to prepare yourself as a young man, how to prepare yourself as a young woman. God ensures he brings all these people around you. Take advantage of them. If you don't have one at the moment, pray that God will open your eyes to see somebody. You need someone that can help you. The Bible says we should consider the former, we should go and meet those that are older than us. They would instruct us in the way that we should go. They will instruct us in the way that we should go. The Bible talks about Esther, who we are using as a showcase this evening. In Esther chapter 2, it says that, you know, it says that Esther was put in the custody of Haggai. Okay, she was put in the custody of Haggai, and she was put under the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Esther chapter 2, verse 8. And then in Esther chapter 2, verse 15, it says there that when the turn of Esther came, everybody's turn came. When the turn of Esther came, it says she requested nothing but what Haggai, this same Haggai in chapter 8, in verse 8, it says she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. You know, when God put her in that place, she was an orphan. She had never been in the palace. She didn't even know how to sit or eat or which cutlery goes with what. She needed somebody to mentor her and school her. So God put a guy there, the eunuch, to train her, to tell her how, to advise her. And when she was going to meet the king, she only did what that guy told her to do. She listened. She had also her uncle who instructed her. She listened. Small wonder that she succeeded. Small wonder that she failed in the same place that Vashti failed. She was mentored. She had people that were advising her, instructing her, and she listened. Ruth as well is another woman. Ruth listened to Naomi. Ruth in chapter 2, verse 22, Naomi told Ruth what she should do, how Boaz was going to be the one, you know, advised her how to, you know, sit down, change your garment, this and that. And small wonder, she had a very successful home. So as a man and as a woman, now, not only women that need married mentors. If you are a man listening to me, in fact, you even need to be mentored more than the women. You need a married mentor, even because you are the head of the home. So please, who is instructing you? Who is your role model? Who are you planning to model your life after? Who are you looking onto as your John the Baptist that is instructing you and telling you this is the way to do it? This is the way to be a man. This is the way to be a woman, to be a father. This is, you know, what men do. Who is speaking into your life? We see Samuel. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. You need somebody. We see Samuel here. Samuel, we all know Samuel the prophet. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. But we know that in the area of marriage, he failed. He failed because he was under Eli. And we know that Eli did not have a happy home. Eli's children were the ones that were sleeping with the women in the temple. So, you know, the Bible says he did not correct his children. His children were wayward. His home was shambles. In fact, God had to take the priesthood from his home. It was that bad. And we see also that Samuel, as anointed and as prophetic, none of his words fell to the ground, is what the Bible says. Sharp. There's no man of God, your prophet, that has ever matched him. But we know that he failed. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3, that he did not correct his sons. His sons did not walk in his own ways. And so his sons could not succeed him. When it was time for his sons to succeed him, the children of Israel said, please give us a king. We don't want any judge anymore. Is it these children that come? No. If it's going to be Samuel's children, Samuel, we don't mind. This is sons. No. Give us a king. That was when they asked for a king. So Samuel as well did not have a happy home. He did not have a marriage mentor. His father in the Lord had a bad home, unfortunately, and he had bad home as well. So if you're a man, you need somebody to mentor you, especially if you grew up in a dysfunctional home, if you grew up in a polygamous home, if you saw the marriage of your parents, it was nothing to write home about. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. We are all products of dysfunctionality to various degrees, really. So I'm not knocking anybody's home. I'm not knocking anybody's background. But you know the kind of home that you came from. You know the kind of women that your father was carrying around. You saw it. You saw different aunties come and go. So you think that you just get married and it just happened like that without you having somebody that can retrain you and mentor you on what it means to have a godly home. You see, Samuel should have gone to look for a marriage mentor. His father in the Lord did not have a good home. So he should have. So some of us didn't have good fathers, or our homes were not, you know, our fathers did not really model what it means to be a good father. So you need to go and look for somebody that is a good father, somebody that has fruit, somebody that has a successful home that can teach you as a man what it means to love your wife, because you have no clue. You didn't see your father love your mother. So how you think it just happened? No. You see, a lot of us end up being products. We end up recreating the sins of our parents, the failures of our parents, either consciously or subconsciously or unconsciously, whichever word it is. We do it. You don't want to do it, but you find out that you just find yourself repeating and reinventing the wheel, even though you don't want to. Why? Because you haven't been reprogrammed. You haven't had somebody to come and tell you this is what it is. You know, this is how you need to build a home. This is how you need to be a man. So you must, if you're a man, you need to get a mentor as well. Now, what qualities are you looking for in a marriage mentor? You are looking for somebody that has a good and a stable home. Not your friends. I'm not talking about your friends now. I'm talking about people that are mature. Well, if your friends have good, if it's your friend, I would just be cautious. I'm not really for that. Go and look for somebody that you would listen to. You won't listen to your friend. Who's your friend to start telling you, you should love, don't talk to your husband like that now. Don't talk to your wife like that. You will not listen to them because you are familiar. It's very hard to learn from somebody that you are familiar with. So friend is not a good idea. Go and look for, in a married mentor, you're looking for somebody that is mature spiritually. Somebody that is mature spiritually. Now, if you have godly parents that are born again, and it could be them, but again, you know, if it really depends on how mature they are. The fact that they are churchgoers does not mean they are spiritual. So I'm talking about spiritual maturity, people that will be able to tell you as it is in the word of God without compromise. You want somebody that you can have access to, marriage mentor, somebody that you can have access to, that you can ask questions, you know, during, if you are in courtship, you can go to them, they can give you advice, candid advice, you know, and somebody that you can even continue to go to even after marriage, because it doesn't end when you get married. You need to constantly go and inquire from the former age. You need to constantly go and seek counsel regarding how you're going to, you know, navigate some areas that might come up in marriage. So somebody that has a good and stable home, somebody that is mature spiritually, somebody that you can have access to, not somebody that you'll not be able to reach, somebody that you'll not be able to call, somebody that is not available. So you want to make sure that that person is, you know, has, you can have access to them. You can ask them questions. Somebody that you respect. So that's why it won't work for friends, because somebody that you look up to, somebody that you admire, and somebody that you will listen to. Esther listened to Haggai. Esther listened to her uncle Mordecai. Naomi, Ruth listened to Naomi. That's why it worked. So there's no point saying somebody is my mentor, they tell you to do something, you don't listen. That's, you know, it's not going to work. Somebody also that you can model your marriage after, you've looked at their home. You can see their children are doing well. You can see the wife is happy. You can see the husband is flourishing in his ministry, in his business, you know. And you can see them as a role model. Somebody you can fashion and model your life after. They are successful. They have fruit. They don't just talk the talk. They have fruit to display. So pray that the Lord will lead you, you know, prayerfully lead you to people like this. It could be your pastors. It could be a mature couple in church. It doesn't always have to be your pastors. It could be a mature couple in church that you observed over, you know, a period of time, and you can see that these people, you know, they have the goods to deliver, and you can learn from them. You know, you can approach them and say, oh, I'm in a relationship, can you guide me? Now, if you're single, you still need to let me be aware if you're in King's Court Chapel, if you're in a relationship. But, you know, one-on-one mentoring and counseling, you can choose a couple in church that have, you know, a stable home, that have all these traits that I've highlighted. When I was a single lady, my cousin was my relationship mentor. He was a believer. He was the one that actually got me to be serious in the Lord. And I used to go to his home for care fellowship. And he was married, himself and his wife. You know, they were both, his wife was a solid believer, you know, right from university. And, you know, my cousin mentored me. They had a very good home. And I wanted my home to be like theirs. You know, I learned a lot of the things that I'm now, you know, using in marriage from just observing them, you know, how they were open with one another, how... I just learned so much just by observing. I wanted to be like them, you know. So they were my model in marriage, you know. So you know, God will always bring people around you. And if the people are not, if you don't have the fruit, stop following them. Now, this is my cousin. Now, unfortunately, he's no longer in the Lord, so he's no longer my mentor. But at that stage in my life, when he was, you know, he was on fire for the Lord, and he was the only, he was, himself and his wife were the only godly people I knew at that time, he was able to fulfill that role in my life, but not anymore. So you need to constantly check that the people, they are, you know, you can see the fruits in their life. And also, you need somebody that will be honest with you, somebody that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Big difference. A lot of us, we want to make foolish decisions, really, and we are looking for somebody to endorse it. That's not what I'm talking about. You want somebody that will say you are wrong, and you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have gone to his house. You shouldn't have gone to her house, and you will listen and you will hearken, and God will help you find that person in Jesus' name. Now, next point, because we need to pray. There's so much to talk about, but we need to pray. How else can I prepare myself for marriage? You can prepare yourself for marriage by preparing for where you are going, by adding value to yourself. That's what I mean. Add value, prepare for where you are going. You know, Esther, she found herself in the palace. She realized that, hey, this was an orphan. You imagine yourself now, they just take you from this Milton Keynes and go and drop you in Buckingham Palace. You won't know how to behave. If they put you to go and have dinner with the queen now, you won't know which cutlery, which one is dessert spoon, which one. You won't know. You won't know which glass to use. You won't know which plate. You will not know. So Esther found herself, she didn't know. But what did she do? She took a whole year. A whole year. The Bible says in Esther chapter 2, verse 12, it says, after each woman had come, it said each woman's turn came. And I'll read that again. Esther chapter 2, verse 12. Each young woman's came to go into King Ahasuerus. After, you see, they didn't go in until after they had completed 12 months preparation. 12 months preparation. So they realized that they didn't have what it takes, and they prepared themselves. They added value to themselves. Esther was from a very, you know, she was from an underprivileged background, you know, living with her uncle and orphan, didn't have parents, but she didn't, she took 12 months. So by the time she saw the king, she wasn't the same Esther that went in before, in the beginning of that year. So what am I talking about? Add value to yourself. We are now in January. So imagine that you are an Esther, or that if you're a man as well, you need to add value to yourself. So we are in January. How can I add value to myself this year? Because my turn will come. Esther's turn came to go before, but she had completed that preparation. She had added VAT to her life. As a single man and a single woman this year, preparing for the next season of your life, which is marriage, you don't have to wait till you're married before you start preparing yourself, before you start adding value to yourself. You must begin to thrive now. Don't say, hey, when I get married, then I'll start investing. No. The beginning of the year, how am I going to improve my life? You are not going to just, you know, because you are not married, you are still on singles lane, you are just going to be stuck there. You're not, you know. No. You must live now. You must be a participant in life. Life does not begin when you marry. Life begins now, and time is going. So you must decide that you are going to make a success of yourself. You're not going to wait until you change lanes before you start living. No, begin to add value to yourself now. You have 12 months. Be like Esther. I have 12 months to improve myself this year as a man and as a woman, preparing myself for where I'm going. What courses am I going to do this year? Some of us have not asked ourselves that question. We're just waiting. Eh? I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting to marry. So, because you're waiting to marry doesn't mean you should be idle. What courses are you going to engage in this year as a single person to add value to yourself? Esther added value to herself. What are you going to do? What language skills? Are you going to pick up a language? Are you going to pick up French or whatever? You know, are you going to pick up any skills this year that will add something to you? What books are you going to read this year? Or what books are you going to write this year? Who says a single person cannot write a book? Of course you can. There's so much to write about. Why do you need to wait until you are married when you will even have less time? Remember we said that the single person concerns themselves with the things of the Lord. So your time is your own now. You can sit down, say, I want to write in the area of XYZ, and begin to put something together. That's another way of adding value to yourself. Or if you like singing, I'm going to wax a CD. There's so many people that, you know, are single. They have, you know, very successful Sinach. We all know Sinach. We sing a song every time in church. I know who God says I am. She's single. Very good example for the singles that are listening to me. You have no excuse. That lady is not married, but hey, has she made an impact with her life? Any man that wants to marry that lady now will first of all check himself. Do I have what it takes? Do you have what it takes to carry her weight? That lady has added value to herself. No, it will take a serious man to go and approach that lady now. Because you can't look at her and say, no. You see her as an asset. She's like an Esther, prepared for where she's going. So what songs are you going to wax this year? What places are you going to visit? Some people are, I can't go on holiday. I don't like going alone. So that's why you haven't gone out of Milton Keynes. Some of us have never gone out of the UK. You've never gone. You don't even know where Scotland is. You don't need a visa to go to Scotland. Please go and travel. Expose yourself. You know, get enlightened. You know, improve your, have a good time. Go with some of your friends. Say two of us, girlfriends. Now I'm not talking about boyfriends. I'm not talking about you're courting somebody. Both of you are going on holiday together. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not how to prepare. You're not laying a good foundation. I'm talking about maybe two of you, two ladies or two guys, you know, just go away somewhere and enjoy life. Thrive. What investments are you going to make this year with your money? You're a single person. Some of you are contracting. You're making, you earn over £500 a day, or I don't know how much they pay them now. What are you doing with all that money? What investments are you making? What homes are you planning to buy? You don't have to be married to buy a home. You don't have to wait for your husband to buy a home as a single lady. I must buy a home this year. Go and find out what, you know, first time. I think right now the government is offering 5% or whatever. You just need to bring 5% deposit to get a home. All the money you are making from contracting and doing PPI, put some of that money. Say, I must get a flat. Don't say, I'm waiting for my husband to bring. Mm-mm. When you get married, you present him the key and say, my dear, I have a home too. have VAT, I've added something to my life. The husband too as well. You're not just waiting and say, hey, when we get married, then I'll go and find a place. When you get married, if you already have a flat, you rent it out, extra income. You can now upgrade to a family home. So value, add value. Esther took 12 months to ensure that she added VAT to her life. What are you doing with your life right now? How are you making a success of your single season while you are waiting for God to change your season? You must sit down after this webinar, write what you want to achieve, your goals for the year. Don't wait until the man comes. Don't wait until the woman comes. Start making a difference now. How am I going to be engaged in church? What am I going to do to make a difference in my church? Maybe I need to go to junior church and begin to impact the younger generation. I have something to give. And when you begin to do that, you find out that your self-esteem begins to increase. A lot of times, the reason why a lot of single people have low self-esteem, they're not adding value to themselves. They don't know what is on their inside. So there's no confidence. They're not secure. They are not tapping the resources that God has placed on their inside. They're just there. No. Get up, arise, and let your life begin to shine this year and begin to add value to your life, preparing for where you are going, because God is about to change your season. Praise the Lord. Now, I've talked for 1 hour. I can't believe it. I have spoken for 1 hour, and I'm going to stop there and just look at some of the questions, if I can take any tonight, because I want us to pray. How does one know the right person? I think I've addressed this. How does one know the right person to learn from, even in the church, as some give wrong advice based on their own experience, which they are still bitter about? How does one discern the God chosen mentor? I think I've addressed this question, when I talked about qualities to look for in a mentor. Number one, you pray that God will open your eyes. Sometimes they're around you, but you are just not opening your eyes to see them. And that's the truth. And until you open your eyes, ask God to open your eyes so that you can begin to, they're right there, but you just haven't seen them. And God needs to open your eyes so you can see them, really. And, you know, I've talked about the qualities that you need to look for. The right person, well, somebody, their fruit. Bible says by their fruit you shall know them, you know. So that doesn't mean that they will be perfect. There's nobody that is perfect, but at least from what you can observe, these people are people that are actively working out their salvation with fear and trembling. They have fruit to show for it. You can assess that, you know, they're not perfect, but they are people that you can model your life after. They have something to show in the area that you want them to mentor you in. So I've talked about it. Stable marriage, for the purpose of marriage now, stable marriage, good home, mature spiritually. Somebody you can look up to, somebody that you respect, somebody that you will listen to, somebody that will tell you the truth of what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. And so that those are the qualities that you need to look for. If it has to do with any other area of your life, then this person can see me later. Right, let me see what other question we have. I think we have one more. I'll just quickly go into this. I'm not, who is this person? This is not what this webinar is about. Can I just address this? I'm going to address this question. Somebody is saying that they are busy. There's somebody that we can hook them up with. Sorry, this is not the purpose of this webinar. This is not a dating service. We are not here to hook anybody up. We are here to share the word of God. So that is not why we are here. I don't know if this person is a member of this church or not, but that's not the purpose of Divine Connections. Divine Connections is to share the truth and the word of God and to pray. So I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. If you are really sincere and you want God to lead you to the person that he has ordained for you, well, you're in the right place, because you need to even know what you are looking for. And then you need to begin to actively pray. In fact, one of the things we're going to be praying about tonight, so you've logged on the right day, is we're going to be praying that God would lead us in order our steps. So maybe this person really needs to take that prayer point very, very seriously and begin to ask the Lord to lead you, to guide you. You know, Boaz was a man that was successful. You can't be as successful as Boaz in the Bible. The man was very, very successful. He had, you know, a harvest field that was thriving. So you can say he was a very, very successful businessman. But even with all of that, God ordered his steps. God ordered the steps of Ruth, you know, brought Ruth and connected Ruth to him. So God will do the same for you in Jesus' name. But we are not into hooking people up on this line. The next question, is it true that there's only one person out there God has destined for you to have as a partner? No, it is not true. That's not true. I know a lot of people say, oh, soulmate and stuff like that. God, there's not just one person out there. Everybody has the kind of person that they are looking for. And God would expose you to people that fall within that remit, as it were. If there was only one person that you are destined to marry, that means when that person dies, you can't marry again now. Abi, we have people that they lost their wife or their husband and they've remarried. So that cancels that myth that, oh, there's only one person out there destined for you. No, God will bring you people with similar ideology, similar background, similar taste, similar ethos in life that you can partner with in the journey of life. But there's only one person, that means you are done for. If you divorce that person, you can't marry again. If the person dies, you can't marry again. So no, there's not just one person that you can marry in life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I trust that this has been helpful. We're going to pray tonight. Hallelujah. And as our usual custom is that when we pray, we open up the prayer lines so that everybody can participate in the prayer. Now, if at this stage, if you know that you are, I'm going to pause my recording. If you know that you are not in a place that